Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's time to get green. Doug Oster and Jessica Walliser are here. All natural, no pesticides, no artificial ingredients. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Hey, Doug is off today, but Jessica Walliser is here. You know her, of course, from this show. And, of course, she is a world-renowned horticulturist, and she speaks all over the country. She's an author, and she happens to also be with the Tribune Review, as Doug is. And Doug does great work for them, too, and everybodygardens.com. 10th caller right now is going to win a $25 gift certificate from the good folks at Sorgles out there in that great community of Wexford, 412-922-1020. And the great thing about when Doug's not here, I actually get a chance to ask a few questions that only I, not even a novice gardener, am curious about. We were talking about the great Davy Tree, and obviously I'm a big fan. I follow everything that they do, and they're just amazing. But I was thinking about this snow, and I just said, you know, people act like this is a lot of snow. And I said, you know, I know when you get a little bit older, you always look back and think those were the good old days, and, you know, things were a little different, and we walked to school 5 miles backwards in the snow. But, you know, when you think of these great trees, and you love trees, and I love trees, and especially the great Douglas fir and these spruce trees and those wonderful trees that people celebrate holidays with, but I've always admired, especially when they are covered with snow, when the folks who came to this country were really buried in snow and there wasn't PennDOT doing what they do, obviously, those trees really were survival as far as from the elements and the weather. A lot of folks used them as shelter. So Mother Nature, in a roundabout way, whether it was planned or it was destiny, I'm not sure. But trees really do have a lot to do with the human element of this country, especially back during the early stages of our country. Would that be a fair statement, do you think?
Sure, yes. And good morning. I'm horticulturist Jessica Walliser. And there's no doubt, I mean, trees are responsible for life on Earth. If we did not have trees, we wouldn't have oxygen and we wouldn't have us. So it beyond using them, obviously, for building, as we do, and an energy source and fuel, as the original people who lived in this country, the Native Americans, right? They burned it for fuel and all that. You know, they provide us with the oxygen that we breathe. They clean the air for us. They provide us with food, you know, nuts, berries, fruits. I mean, that was a major food source. It still is for many people, but definitely for the original inhabitants of this country.
Life would be really a very sad place without trees. You know, people take them for granted. But ever since I was a kid, and I remember living in the home that I grew up in, Galbranson Heights in New Brighton, we had a big picture window. I mean, everybody had a picture window in their home. But I would sit in this chair a lot of times and look at this maple tree that my dad had planted and watch it grow as I grew.
Mm-hmm.
And I still drive by that house today from time to time, and I see that maple tree. And right away, it takes me back to my youth, sitting in that chair on a nice spring day, watching the leaves and things of that nature finally start to bloom, and obviously the changing of the season. So trees are a good thing, and we're real happy about having Davy Tree back in a few short weeks for another year. Lots to get to, but you know, spring rings eternal, and this time of year when you get a little cold, you get a little snow, you start thinking about nurseries and planning and moving forward. But it's got to be tough for someone who's been involved, as you have, your entire life and professional life in the world of gardening, because once the holidays are gone, it's time to start thinking about springtime.
Yeah, I mean, we're all gardeners are busy and dreaming about the coming gardening season. But I just would like to remind people with this conversation that we're having about trees that, you know, the gardening season doesn't just begin in spring with seed starting. Actually, there's things you can be doing in your garden now. And we especially talk about trees and shrubs. Now is an excellent time to do a lot of pruning tasks. And I had the fortune of being with the Mercer County Master Gardeners yesterday for their annual winter symposium. And after I gave my talk, Nancy Knaus, who is with the Cooperative Extension, she's the head of the Pennsylvania Cooperative Extension Master Gardeners Program, and she gave a great talk on pruning, and she covered the must-dos and the please-do-nots of pruning trees and pruning woody shrubs. And it was a good reminder and a great refresher for me to see. She had beautiful pictures and illustrations of, you know, somebody says, oh, I have an overgrown lilac and I want to know how do I prune it. And she had wonderful illustrations of exactly where to make the pruning cuts on different examples, and both live pictures and illustrations. And it was a great reminder that right now is an excellent time to be pruning almost all dormant trees, which is deciduous trees that don't have leaves, and shrubs on them, and shrubs as well. And fruit trees, especially wintertime, January, February into early March, is the best time to be doing these things. Now, I know that a lot of our local garden centers, Sorgel's also on their orchard property, usually has some pruning workshops where you can go and you can watch an expert do the pruning. You can do a hand. Some of them do offer hands-on workshops. And that really is the best way to learn pruning. Especially if you can't go to a program like the one Nancy gave yesterday where you're watching examples on the screen. So go and see it live if that's another option for you. It's extremely important that if you have foundation plants around your home, things like rhododendrons, arborvitae, viburnums, that you keep them regularly pruned so that they don't get big and gigantic. Because what happens when they get big and gigantic is then you send me an email or you call me on the radio show and you say, okay, my lilac is now 20 feet tall. There's only blooms at the top. What do I do? If you had done proper maintenance pruning every couple of years as that plant was growing, you wouldn't get to the point where it's 20 feet tall with only blooms on the top. So, you know, now you're stuck with this task when it is 20 feet tall of rejuvenative pruning, which is a huge task of cutting a certain number of the branches all the way down to the ground, really doing it aggressively. It takes the plant a couple of years to really rebound. Whereas if you had done it a little bit every year or every other year, that would be better. Now, that does not mean that I want you to go out with a hedge trimmer or a hand pruner and turn your shrubs into meatballs. That's not proper pruning. Proper pruning is following the branches out from the tips in down into the plant where they meet another branch, and that's where you're making the cut. You're doing it judiciously. You're doing it step by step with careful thought and careful planning, and you're pruning it back. It doesn't look like a meatball in the end. It still retains its natural shape. And this is whether you're talking about a forsythia or a weigelia or a viburnum. No matter what the natural shape of that shrub is, when you're done pruning, it should be smaller in size, but it shouldn't look like you pruned. It shouldn't be shaped into a meatball. That's what healthy pruning is.
If you could really turn them into meatballs, that'd be something, wouldn't it?
It really would, wouldn't it?
I could make a little bit of money doing that. Voila, meatballs. All right, listen, short break. Gina and Cranberry, congratulations. Already folks starting to line up, wanting to talk to Jessica. Doug is off today. If you want to take a couple of the lines that we have available, you can do so by dialing 866-391-1020.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
All right, we're back. Jessica and I just talking gardening, folks, and time got away from us. All right, time to go to work. Let's talk to Kay in the North Hills. First up for Jessica Walliser. Hey, Kay, how you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Jessica, I have brought my begonias in to winter over, and they're developing some kind of a mold on the leaves. Do you know what to do about that?
I do. So do you happen to know what type of begonias these are?
They're the dark double begonias, little ones. They're little tiny rose-looking things when they bloom.
Okay, so they're probably a tuberous begonia. When you describe them as little tiny rose-looking things, they're probably a tuberous. So a couple different things with those. One, you can overwinter them as a houseplant, as you're doing. You can also overwinter them. They're a tuber or a bulb. Like structure that is under the ground. So a lot of people will actually overwinter them like you would overwinter a dahlia tuber or a caladium bulb, just sort of as the bare bulb in a box of peat moss. So if you wanted to, you could do that as well. But in your case, since you're growing them as a houseplant, you probably have a case of a fungal disease called botrytis. And botrytis is actually a very, very common fungal disease on all types of plants, but it's particularly fond of begonias, unfortunately. A couple things that you can do to cut down on that. It will start as sort of spots on the leaves, lower leaves usually yellowing, and then they'll sort of turn into this water-soaked, mushy, fuzzy growth. As soon as you see leaves that are starting to become affected by it, you need to pinch them off the plant immediately and then wash your hands before you work on the plants again to make sure that you're not spreading those spores. You need to make sure that the foliage stays completely dry when you water because like other fungal organisms, Botrytis loves wet conditions. Don't put that plant where you are like growing orchids that you have a high humidity tray with or something. You don't want them to be very humid. Don't keep them in the bathroom where you have a lot of steam and humidity. They're much better off in a slightly drier room. That will cut down on that as well. But what you might find with tuberous begonias is you might find it will gradually, slowly die back completely because it wants to shift into a natural dormancy, which is fine because then you'll just have that bulb. Just let it sit in the soil. Don't even have to bother watering it and put the little pot in your garage or something like that, and it'll easily overwinter that way as well.
Okay. I don't need to spray it with anything or do anything like that.
No. I mean, I would definitely keep it on the drier side. So
okay.
Don't water nearly as frequently and keep the foliage dry. Those are going to be the two prime things to stop that fungal organism because it needs moisture to survive.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Kay.
All right, we go from Kay to Whitehall and say hello to Joanne up next for Jessica Wallace. You're on the Organic Gardening Show. How are you, Joanne?
I'm well, and thank you for taking my call. Jessica, I have a stupid question, maybe. I usually oil all my tools before I put them away. What is the best kind of oil, or what can you use?
Are you talking about pruning equipment, or are you talking about shovels and that?
Shovels, okay. And you know, everything.
Okay, so I actually, when you know, because it does help cut down on the rust, which is wonderful,
right.
Especially if you have older tools and you want that maybe belong to your parents or grandparents, and you really want to preserve them. And I actually have experimented with. I read something once about vegetable oil, and I thought, how can that be right? And I did it. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like using the vegetable oil. I actually like just that little the 3-in-1 oil that you use to oil your
hinges
on the doors and the doorknobs and things like that. I just put that on a cloth after cleaning the tool and just wipe a real thin layer of that on, and I think it works great.
Now, is there any possibility, like you said, vegetable oil? You're referring to like Crisco and things like that.
Yeah, like a regular vegetable oil. I had, and I'm trying to remember where I had read that. It might have been like Martha Stewart or something like that, where she used regular vegetable oil like that on her pruning blades. But for me, it got really gummy, and I didn't like it. It was sort of like when you use a cast iron skillet and you season it and it gets too much of a layer on it and it gets gummy. That's what it kind of did on my tools. So that's why I feel like that 3-in-1 just works so much better. Or even WD-40, just a spray of WD-40 and then wipe it with a cloth on there to get that nice sheen that's going to protect it from rust.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Joanne.
All right.
Good day.
Good.
You too.
I don't think we're the only ones that have early spring fever. These phones are kind of busy.
That's good. I keep it rolling because it's tough when you're by yourself. Well, I mean, you're here, but I'm without Doug.
You are by yourself when it comes to this topic. Deb in the North Hills. How you doing, Deb?
Hi. I'm wonderful. Thanks for taking my call. Jessica, I have a quick question for you. It has nothing to do with gardening at my house, but I've been seeing on the news where people have been cutting down the Joshua trees. And I was wondering, like, how long they take to grow, what's the significance of them, if any, those type of, and how you feel about that.
Holy cow. Well, Deb, I wish I had the answers to all of those questions. I have not heard about that, but what a shame that people are destroying property that belongs to all of us. I mean, we are all public land owners, right? So they're stealing it from us, and I don't know if it's a souvenir thing or what. I don't know much about Joshua trees. They are not species that grow anywhere near where we live. So I would maybe take that question to a California gardening expert or somebody out in a western region.
I was curious. They're supposedly cutting them down to make way so that they can ride their four-wheelers and stuff through these state parks now that they're not being manned because of the shutdown.
Oh, my goodness. That's really, really very, very sad if that's the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't have more information about that.
You're not a veterinarian, and my dog never did this, but somebody just sent a text message.
I can only in my head picture what this question is going to be, but go ahead.
You know, why does this guy's dog eat the grass all the time? I don't know why dogs do. They say to settle their stomach, is there something that makes my dogs never did that, but it's a question, and I wanted to ask you.
I have no idea. I think that's one for Dr. Mike.
Absolutely.
I really don't know. I mean, I always heard that they ate the grass to do the opposite, to make themselves purge out something in their stomach that didn't belong there. Or maybe it's just because sometimes dogs are weird.
Just like humans.
Said with love as a former dog owner.
Right.
Sometimes they are weird. We do have to admit that.
All right.
But often cats are weirder. So also as an owner of two cats.
So, I'll be honest with you. We had cats when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Then I went to the dog life and absolutely love my dogs. And I love my cats. But my daughter got a cat a couple of years ago. And, you know, I truly find this cat fascinating.
Yeah.
And what amazes me, how agile and athletic they are.
Oh, totally. And different personalities. Like, I never had cats before. And we have two now. And they couldn't be two more different cats. And they're raised, they're not in the same litter, but they were raised as the same, right? Because they were rescue kitties raised from by bottle. And they couldn't be two more different personalities.
Pretty awesome, though.
Yep.
All right, let's go to Eleanor. Eleanor, how you doing?
Good, thank you. And thank you for the show. It's always interesting. I recently moved to a retirement home and received a gift of an orchid. And I'm wondering how best to care for it.
Do you happen to know from the tag in that pot what type of orchid it is?
It does not say. It does say that it should be in a bright, well-lit location, but no direct sun. So the only thing I have is a south window, but I have a cellular shade between the plant and the window.
Okay, so I actually think take that shade away and just have the plant in the south-facing window. It wouldn't have to be immediately in the window. It could be, on a little table near the window. If it's a Phalaenopsis orchid, which are the ones that look, they describe them as a moth orchid. The blooms look almost like a moth with the two wings on the sides. You see them a lot of times, just even in the grocery store at the little flower counter there. They have them a lot.
I don't know where it came from.
Okay, well, that's probably what it is. They're the ones that are most common to find nowadays.
And what kind is it?
What they call a moth orchid, which it's
a moth orchid because of the wings. Okay.
Yes, exactly. And Phalaenopsis is the genus for it. But regardless of that, yes, a bright window, but not direct sunlight. Is it potted in potting soil or kind of like bark, pieces of bark chips?
Yeah, the roots that came in a pot, and there's roots over the top of the soil. I can't tell what's under it.
Yeah, but is it potting soil, or is it like bark chips that's filling the pot?
I haven't poked around to find.
Okay, because that would make a little bit of difference as far as watering goes.
This said 3 ice cubes a week.
Okay, so that's sort of a popular way nowadays of them telling you an easy way to water an orchid is to just let some ice cubes melt and slowly seep down to the roots. And that's an okay way to do it. That's certainly not how orchids grow in the wild and how they're watered.
That's right. That's why I was asking.
Right. So you can do it that way. People do have success doing it that way. I have a Phalaenopsis orchid at home, but I actually take mine to the sink. I turn on the water, like room temperature water, and I let the water flush through the pot for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then I let the pot drain and then put it back on display. The blooms will last. Any blooms that are on there now will last for, I mean, they can last like 2 months. They'll start dying, but the buds on the tip of the flower stalk will continue to open. So they last for a very long time. And then when you get to the point, this point next year, and you want it to rebloom, call me back and I'll go through the process that's involved in getting that plant to rebloom, which is sort of a hit or miss proposal.
All right. Very well done. Very well done. We got about 20 seconds. What are you going to get into in the next segment?
Well, we're going to talk to Bob, who has a question about a walnut tree. And I'd also like to cover a little bit about forcing bulbs if we have some time, because now is the time to plant some bulbs to force so that you can have something good to give to your Valentine.
Jessica Walliser coming up in just a moment.
Keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
Back at it. It's Jessica in today. Doug is off enjoying a well-deserved vacation day. Jessica, of course, taking your calls at 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, instant access, kdkradio.com. You can text us on the Wright Automotive line. The best deal in town. 10th caller right now wins a $25 gift certificate from Janoski's in Clinton. That's 412-922-1020. Okay, here we go. Wright Automotive text message. Best deal in town before we get to Bob. Good morning, Jessica. I want to know how to trim a holly bush. So far, I have thinned it out, but it's rather large, and I'd like to shrink the size down. Is that possible? Thank you.
It is possible, but you need to set up a plan to do this, because you really don't want to prune off more than one third of a shrub's growth in any given year. So if you really need to do a substantial pruning on it, you want to do a third of the height this year, and then next year do a little more, and then the year after that a little more, until eventually it's back to the, you know, a smaller size. And this goes back to what I was speaking about earlier, which is making sure that you keep things pruned on a regular basis from the time they're young. Then you don't have to manage such an overgrown plant. This is a fine time of year to prune holly. And in fact, you can do it all the way through early March. And then you have another opportunity to do it a little bit later on in the summer. But now is really a very good time to do that. But don't, like I mentioned earlier, don't shear it. Follow the tips of those branches back down to where they meet another branch. And that's where you make the cut. And you can go in and thin it out like that. And that will overall shrink the size, but no more than a third every year.
All right. Sounds good. Let's go to Bob West Mifflin up next for Jessica Wallace of the Organic Gardeners, KDK Radio. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. And thanks for taking my call. I had a tree started to grow in my back part of my yard, and I found out it was a walnut tree. And it's been growing from, I guess, a seed, and it's about 5-6 years old now, and I have yet to see any fruit.
Yes. So walnuts just need to be very mature in order to develop the nuts. It's funny that you're anxious for it to start to create nuts, because a lot of people that grow walnuts get bothered by all the walnuts everywhere in the autumn, because they do drop, you know, once they're mature, they do drop a lot of walnuts, and they're kind of can be messy because they have this casing over them that's black, and it stains your hands when you go to pick them up. So a lot of people don't like walnuts. But one thing to watch out for, Bob, as you let that walnut tree mature, walnut trees produce a substance called juglone, which is a substance that's an allelopathic compound, which means it's a growth inhibitor. So it is meant, it's a way that the walnut tree has evolved to prevent competition with itself. So as the juglone comes out of the roots and out of the plant itself and goes into the soil, it prevents other things from growing around that plant. So if it's near a vegetable garden or near a flower garden, you might want to reconsider that walnut tree, simply because it could prevent other plants from growing in its root zone and under its drip line.
Well, that's good because around where this tree is, it's part of a hill, and usually weeds grow there, and I have, I whacked that down. But the branches seem spider-like. And as a kid, and the reason why I wanted a walnut, because, we always go back to our youth. We had a cottage up in Franklin, and I really enjoyed the walnuts and picking them and opening them up and used them for stuffing. And I did a lot of things with the walnuts, and I was looking forward to, doing that again.
Yeah, and I think that's awesome, and I love that you want to grow this tree. I have great memories, too, of going on walks with my Nana and collecting walnuts, and then we'd go back to her house and get the husks off. And so I have very fond memories of them, too, and it's wonderful that it's in a place where it really can be allowed to grow and not inhibit the growth of other things or become problematic for you. So that's terrific.
Should I prune it?
I would not. I would let the tree do it. Walnuts actually have a beautiful natural shape. I would not do any pruning on it. I would just let the plant mature on its own. You'll actually have more rapid growth because it was grown from a seed than you would if you had planted it as a potted shrub or potted tree. I would let it go. I would guess that probably in another 3 to 5 years, you're going to start getting some nuts on it, but it does need to have a certain amount of maturity before it will produce them.
Well, I love your show, and I listen to it. I work at night, so I come in the morning, and I love your show. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much, Bob.
Nothing like a cup of coffee after a well-deserved night at work to enjoy the show.
How about it?
All right, real quick, couple of news and notes. And by the way, Jenny from Baden, the winner of that great gift certificate from Janoski's. But just a couple of things before we go to the break.
Yes. So I mentioned earlier that I wanted to talk about now is a good time to do some pot up some bulbs for forcing. So if you can go to a local garden center and they might have a couple of tulip bulbs or hyacinths or grape hyacinths sort of in the back that really hadn't sold, or maybe you left some in the garage because you didn't get around to planting them. Now is a great time to pot them up to force. So what you do basically for this is you pot those spring blooming bulbs up in a flower pot. And you're going to want the tips of those bulbs to be about an inch or two below the surface of the soil. You can actually even plant them in layers in the pot with the bigger bulbs on the bottom and then layer them up to smaller bulbs towards the top of the pot. Then you water that in and you put a little piece of plastic over the top of it, like plastic wrap or a dry cleaning bag, some kind of clear plastic. And you hold that pot between 35 and 45 degrees. It can be in an unheated garage. It can be in the back of the refrigerator. It can be in a cold room off of the basement. And you keep it at that temperature for about 8 to 10 weeks. And check it every now and then to see if it needs to be watered, because you don't want that soil to really dry out. The plastic over it will help keep it moist. 8 to 10 weeks pass. And then you bring that pot of bulbs into the light and warmth of your home. Put it on the dining room table or on the kitchen counter. And within just a few weeks, those bulbs will begin to emerge and you'll have a lovely set of blooms. And it would be right around the Valentine's Day at this time. And it's a great way to have and enjoy some beautiful blooms indoors for not very much expense. You can also buy bulbs for forcing from some of the bulb catalogs like Brent and Becky's and Brex bulbs and things like that. And I would choose, if you can, shorter varieties so that you don't have to stake them in that pot. Wonderful way to enjoy blooms in the winter.
All right. If you have a question you want to get in under the wire before we get to the top of the hour and Shelby Cassesi comes back and checks local news, now would be a great time to call.
Doug and Jessica teach you how to keep it green. The Organic Gardeners are on KDKA Radio.
And it is now time for our Mrs. Know-It-All. She's Denise Schreiber, a horticulturist, garden writer, and all-around garden goddess. Good morning, Denise. How are you?
Good. I'm going to Florida tomorrow.
Oh, yay you. Now, you were also in Baltimore recently, I understand.
Right. I'm going to a trade show in Fort Lauderdale tomorrow called the Tropical Plant Industry Expo. And I'm just going down for a few days, but there ain't nothing wrong with Fort Lauderdale in January.
You got that right.
But, yeah, I was at Mance this week. Doug was there, too. We ran into each other literally a few times.
Now, say what Mance is. Tell everybody what that is.
Mid-Atlantic Nursery Trade Show. It is the largest nursery trade show in the United States. If you walk very fast and don't look at, like, equipment, you might be able to see most things in 2 days, and that's an 8-hour day. But I saw some, but there's also a lot of things for consumers there, although it's not open to consumers. Excuse me. I saw a garden trellis. It's from the Garden Trellis and Fence Company, and it's a modular unit that you take it apart and lays flat. So if you have a storage issue, although you could leave it up, it's galvanized steel. It's about 6 foot high and about 6 foot long. You can grow any of your vining crops. You can grow cucumbers, your peas, your beans. I also saw it being used as if you grow a lot of sunflowers, and you can grow them inside this and keep them upright so they don't fall over from the wind. And it retails for like $199. So from what I understand, it's going to be going into, they're working on some details with Ace Hardware. So right now you would have to order it online mm-hmm. in order to get it. But I'm hoping that, you know, by spring they'll have all that worked out. But I saw, you know, other great things. I saw a cart, for lack of a better term, of a hydroponic system that's very easy to use at home, and you can, you know, grow, you know, all your smaller crops, you know, like lettuce, you know, beets, that sort of thing, you know, inside the house. It came with the light. The whole system was complete. And then one of the coolest things we thought would be, you know, if you're giving a gift to a gardener, is they have tissue paper that is actually embedded with different seeds. So, you know, and they're right now they're just flower seeds. But, you know, it comes in a pack, and there's like pink and green and blue. And it'd make great if you're giving a gift to somebody who's a gardener, you know, that they can actually, you know, cut this paper up and plant it, and they would have flowers.
Oh, that's really cool. And it's interesting when you go to trade shows like that within the industry. Yeah, you know, they're not available to the average consumer. But when you go with a trade, you can see all of the things that are going to be coming to nurseries before they get there. And in the media, that's wonderful because then we can write and share them with you. And that builds up a little bit of hype for those products. And it really gives us in the industry a sneak peek as to what the trends are going to be, upcoming products. And I have not been to Mance, but I have certainly seen it in pictures and certainly heard about it from all the folks like you and Doug who go there. And one of these days, I'm going to get there and see all of the cool products that they carry. So thanks for that report. And I have a feeling that when Doug comes back next week, he's going to have a report about some great things that he found at Mance as well, because there's no doubt that there's plenty to be found. And I think that probably some of the companies that are there are also seed companies. And right now, one of the biggest winter chores, tasks, it's a fun thing, so I'm not sure that I would call it a chore, but for many gardeners, is to sort through those catalogs and decide which varieties that you want to be growing this year. Now, whether you grow indoor, you know, you start your own seeds indoors under grow lights, or you buy those seeds to directly sow them out into the garden as the season begins, spending some time to really carefully pick which varieties you want to grow is a very smart thing, and it sets you up for success throughout the season. So checking the varieties for things like disease resistance, for taste and flavor, make sure they're the right height for wherever it is that you want to grow them. Make sure that they are a variety that grows well in our region. So for example, if you want to grow your own peppers and you want to grow them from seed rather than buying the plants at a nursery, peppers are one of those things, especially bell peppers. If you get a variety that isn't bred to grow in our climate, you may have problems getting them to set big, beautiful, colorful peppers on there. So you would look for varieties like King of the North, which obviously is made for northern regions like ours, versus something like California Wonder, which is a discussion we had at the Master Gardener Group yesterday. California Wonder's not a great variety for Pittsburgh. It's a great variety for California. So choose carefully and wisely when you're talking about looking from seed.
All right. Dollar Bank Instant Access. Love the show, Jessica. My stored garlic is withering up. Some look like they are rotting. What did I do wrong? Thanks.
Oh, probably improper storage conditions. So garlic is one of those things. It's also varieties. So some varieties have a longer storage life than others. And it's important that you try to choose ones that are known for a long storage life. I have found that I get the best storage life out of garlic when I store the dried heads in egg cartons. And you kind of have to tip them on their sides when you put them in the a paper egg carton, not one of the styrofoam ones, but a paper one. If you tip the head of garlic on its side so that the stalk is bent over to the side, you can fit 12 of them inside of an egg carton and then close up the egg carton. And then I stack those egg cartons in my shelf in my pantry. And that seems to keep the humidity at the perfect level around those heads of garlic so that they don't dry out too quickly. I find when I hang garlic or I put it loose in the pantry, it dries out really quickly and then I get that shriveling. So combination of the right varieties, the right kind of curing, and then the right kind of storage, and that's going to give you the longest shelf life. And remember, the organic gardeners always aim to teach you how to create a better place to garden and a safer place to live.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.